I don't know if it's just the rain or if it's the clouds and the gloom, but there just feels like there's just a spirit of heaviness upon us today. I know some are grieving and some are having difficulties from, as Chip said, instances and tragedies that are fresh on our minds. I spoke with a guy this morning who just continues to grieve over a son that died over a year ago. This morning I received a text message from somebody reminding me that this would have been the 56th birthday of the friend that killed himself several years ago. And so there just seems to be just a heaviness over this place. Do you feel it? Could we just pray about this and just ask that in the midst of this gloom, in the midst of defeat or discouragement or depression, that God would lift that and that He would give us His joy? Here's the thing. The difference between happiness and joy, you know the difference? Happiness is based on happenings. So when we buy a new car, we're happy because something has happened to make us happy. Joy is based in a relationship with the overcoming resurrected Christ. And so we can have joy regardless of what's going on around us, whatever's happening to us. And so today, would you just join me in praying that God would lift our spirits even in this moment? Lord, we thank You that You are as close as the mention of Your name. We call on that matchless name of Jesus, and we know that when He is lifted up, He will draw all of us unto Himself, that at the name of Jesus, demons must flee, that at the name of Jesus, the dead are raised again, those who are sick are healed. At the name of Jesus, God, things are set right. So today we lift up Jesus. We thank You for the praise and the worship we've had where we have been reminded that forever He is glorified. We just want to enter into that today. Lord, we may not feel like coming to church. We may not have felt like worshiping. But I thank You it's not based on a feeling, that ours is a commitment to You and we will ourselves to worship. So today, Lord, receive our praise, lift our spirits, free our minds, enable us to have a connection with You so that when we walk from this place, the clouds and the shadows will be left behind at the foot of the cross, so that when people have an encounter with us, they will see the light of Christ and His glory in our eyes. Even if we are still sad, may Your joy that's unspeakable and full of glory fill our hearts, fill our lives, fill our minds, fill our spirits, and fill our encounters today. Lord, I thank You that the Bible says we may not know all things, but that You give us a peace that passes our ability to know. You give us peace that passes understanding. May Your peace reside in this place and on each and every heart and life that is here. May we be transformed by the presence of Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, I just want to say a word of thanks for Cameron Winton coming to bat for me last week and filling in and preaching. It allowed me to go to a board meeting in Kentucky for a missions agency that I'm on the board of. And it also allowed me to celebrate my dad's 90th birthday. Just a phenomenal man. He's a World War II vet. He's seen a lot of things happen in life. He's watched a lot of different things like the advent of the radio and the advent of television. And he is now, I just scratched my head. He's a fan of Big Brother. Go figure, you know? So there's my dad. Whenever Big Brother shows up, that and Dancing with the Stars. I don't think you can get two more different television shows. But I got some time with him, and I'm grateful for that. So thank you for allowing me to go and take care of those two pieces of business. I'm excited about being back with you, though. This is my forever family. I love y'all, and I hope you feel that. Just know that I care deeply about you. I want you in heaven with me because you're very cool people to hang out with, and I want to do that for eternity. Last week, if you were here, Cameron talked about the fact that Jesus is inviting people to follow Him. And the fact is, It doesn't matter who you are or how good you are or how bad you are. Last week, they looked at, and in the scriptures we looked at, Jesus kind of opened up the invitation to anybody. And if you look at his disciples, he really meant anybody. There were fishermen. There were tax collectors. They weren't the best of the best. They were just representative of the population, so that whenever people came to hear Jesus teach, they could see themselves in the image of the disciples. And they knew anyone could follow Jesus. Well, I want to follow up with that this week, this whole idea that anyone can follow Jesus, by looking at a story in Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, starting with verse 36, we see two people, very different people, who decided to test this theory out that anybody could have a connection with Jesus. And so let's read there. And let me just remind you, I'm sure you know of the story already, so let me just remind you of it. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind Jesus at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, the Pharisee said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house, and you did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her sins have been many, for she her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to the woman, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Two different people, two totally different perspectives, both come to an encounter with Jesus. One is a Pharisee. We know those are the religious folks. They are the ones that know the law. They follow the law. They're in right with God, so to speak. The other one is a prostitute. Both of them have an encounter with Jesus. What we can learn from these two persons, I want to pull out three points about their encounter with Jesus. Because really, all of us come to Jesus at some point or another. And we have some choices to make, and there's some things we need to know. And the first thing we need to know is that Jesus knows us. He knows us. He knows us full. He knows us well. He still loves us most. Both the Pharisee and the prostitute came to Jesus, and they were known by him. There was nothing hidden. It's amazing that Jesus knows that this woman's a sinner. It's amazing that Jesus knows that this Pharisee is just checking things out on the surface, that there's no real depth in his encounter with Jesus. He sees him where he is. He knows him for where he's at. And Jesus is okay with that. Jesus knows us. Is that intimidating to you to know that God knows you? I know a lot of times when I used to get in trouble, believe it or not, there was a day before I was a pastor and I did unpastorly things that I didn't want my parents to find out. And Dad, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. There were things that I did that you didn't know about, or at least you were good enough and kind enough not to let me know that you knew. But I tried to hide those things. You know what's amazing is we tried to hide those things from God too, don't we? You know, that language that we use, or those actions that are not loving or kind or Christian. We try to avoid God, but the Bible lets us know that God knows us at the deepest soul levels of our being. The word for know in the Bible is actually a Hebrew word, yada. And it is a word that really is more than just a knowledge-based thing. That same word is used in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, when Adam knew Eve. Adam, yada, Eve. Now, that's where you would cue up the Barry White music, you know what I'm saying? It's an intimacy that is known between a husband and a wife. And right after that, it says, and she conceived and bore a son. Knowing. God knows you at the most intimate soul level. One Hebrew scholar once said that yada was really the best translation was soul mingling. This deepest, deepest knowledge, like a man can know a woman when they're married. God knows you to that level. We kind of experienced that this morning in our responsive reading, didn't we? That God, you knit me together in my mother's womb. You know me full. You know me well. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He's the one that was there knitting us together in our mother's womb. There is nothing that we have done that has been hidden from God. God knows us. If you got your Bible, I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 139. This just kind of further cements this whole idea of being known by God. Psalm 139 says this, first couple of verses, 1 through 4. O Lord, you have searched me, and then it says, and you know me. Then it goes on to say what God knows. God, you know when I sit and when I rise. You know my thoughts from afar. You know my going out and my coming in, my laying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. God knows us. That could be an intimidating thing if God wasn't a loving, powerful, tender mercy-giving God. But that's who He is. He's a good, good father. You know that song we sing? He's a good father, and even though He knows us at the most deepest, intimate places of our heart, He loves us anyway. And here's the mind-blowing thing. We see it in this story, and you know it in your life. Not only does God know you, have every hair on your head numbered, He knows when you get up and when you lay down, He wants you to yada Him. God invites us to know Him at the deepest levels. That will chicken fry your brain if you really sit down and think about it. Because here's the God of all creation, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. It's not surprising to find out He knows about us. But here's the thing. He took on human flesh and dwelt among us. Why? So He could just hang out? No, He wanted us to know Him. He wanted us to get in a relationship with Him. When I'm reading this story about this lady, it's amazing how Jesus allows her to come close. She's a woman with a reputation. She knows Him. But what happens? She comes into the room where Jesus is, and He is reclining at the table. We always think of eating. We think tables and chairs. Well, they have like a little table, and then they have reclining couches. And they recline at the table. They brace themselves with one arm, and they eat with the other. So their feet are away from the table. And this woman comes up to where Jesus is eating, and she's moved. She's stirred by who he is. Maybe she's witnessed the teachings. Maybe she has seen the disciples and who all make up his followers and thinks, could it possibly be that he would allow me to be one of those followers? I've done a lot of things and I just want a chance. And what happens? She goes to his feet and begins sobbing. I never thought much of this. I was like, there is no way anyone can cry to the point of sopping somebody's feet to the point where it need to be dried until I went to Mexico. I was on a mission trip there, and I watched some ladies travail. I watched some ladies just weep. And when they finished kneeling and crying and praying out to God, literally you could have mopped the floor. The tears were that present. The tears were that plentiful. And so now I have a new picture of what this woman probably did. She was probably sobbing uncontrollably, broken at the feet of Jesus. And then the Bible says she takes her hair. Now, in that culture, women were never to let their hair down in public with a man. That was considered one of the highest forms of intimacy, was to let their hair down. But isn't it amazing? God wants us to let our hair down in his presence, figuratively. You know what I mean by letting your hair down? It's just losing all inhibitions and just being real in the presence of the King. This lady let her hair down and began to wipe Jesus' feet. She's weeping, she's wiping, and then the Bible said she's kissing his feet. I don't know about you, but I think feet are gross. They disgust me most of the time, and I don't want people touching my feet, and I don't want anybody, pretty much, you know that we have this personal bubble that's about an arm's length away. I don't know how far that is. Let's see. If you get closer than this, then you're invading my personal space. And if you're a close talker, you know how folks get right up in your face and I start turning, you know, because I want that space back, right? Well, this lady had invaded Jesus' space, but he didn't flinch. He didn't flee. He allowed her to continue to let her hair down and to make herself known and to get to know Jesus. I don't know, as I was reading this week, I was like, there's some real stuff happening here. And it's not sexual, it's not romantic, it's just a sinner that is broken encountering a Savior who wants to put her back together. And there she is, weeping and crying and wiping and kissing, because Jesus invites us to that kind of relationship where we just get real. We confess our sins, is what it says in 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, this whole idea of Jesus allowing us to know him, I see this time and time again in Scripture. You remember Mary and Martha? Every time you encounter Mary, where is she? She's at Jesus' feet, just soaking in his words, soaking in his person, soaking in his presence, and anything that he had to give. She was right there just waiting for it. When you encounter children in the Bible, where are they? They're drawing close to Jesus. The disciples are freaking out. No kids. Don't send them off to children's church. Jesus is like, no, let the little children come to me. You see, I'm the God that knows you. I'm the God that knows them. I want them to have access to me. I want them to know me. So in this story, I'm blessed to know that we've got a God who knows us. And even though He knows us, He still says, come to Me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to Me, learn from Me, for My yoke is easy and My burden is light. We have a God who says, I want to know you, and I want you to know Me in that same sort of way. You know, I see when Jesus was crucified, you remember what happened in the temple? The veil to the Holy of Holies was split. It was torn asunder. And basically what it was saying, it was God's invitation. There is no hindrance. There's no barrier between you and Me any longer. You have access to Me. And that's why it says in Hebrews, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Because God wants us to know Him. And Christ has removed the veil. Christ has removed the barricades and the blockades. So God knows us. We're good with that. We know that. But then God wants us to know Him. And here's the third point. God doesn't want us just to know about Him. He wants us to really know Him deeply and intimately. He wants us to know Him relationally, not just informationally. You see, that Pharisee had invited Jesus to his home for dinner. He probably had a large crowd of people because later in the verse we see the people that are blown away by Jesus forgiving the lady's sin. But here's the amazing thing. The Pharisee forgets the most common of courtesies that you would grant even just a stranger. He doesn't wash Jesus' feet to provide refreshing. He doesn't give Him a kiss to greet Him and to say, you're welcome in My home. He doesn't provide any refreshing oil to help Him smell better and to know that He is blessed and welcomed into the home. And the Pharisee sits down. It's almost like the Pharisee just wants to grill Jesus. He just wants to ask Him questions. He wants to know more about Him. So tell me about your family, Jesus. Tell me about your mom. Tell me about your dad's business. Tell me about your brothers. Tell me about where you're from and what's going on there. Surface level stuff. How many of us, we've settled for surface level stuff in our relationship with Jesus? We can name the books of the Bible. We can name the disciples. We can name all sorts of things about where Jesus was born and where He lived and where He died. We know a lot of information about Jesus. But have we really stopped to get to know Jesus relationally? You see, the lady, that prostitute, didn't just want her mind filled with information. She wanted her heart filled with love and with devotion and a relationship. She wanted to walk with Jesus. She wanted to come away a different person. And so she gave herself there. 18 inches. Have you made that 18-inch journey where Jesus has gone from being the Lord of what you know to the Lord of all? I wonder today, how many of you are within 18 inches of Jesus? Arm's reach. You know about Him. You know what's available there. You know what you maybe want or should do, or maybe what you should want to do. 18 inches. I wonder how many of us, when the time for us in this world is over, how many of us will be 18 inches from heaven? You talk about stopping just short. God doesn't want that. He knows you. He knows the potential that's in you to change the world, to change someone's eternity. And He doesn't want you to come up 18 inches short of anything. 18 inches. The Pharisee had the head knowledge. The lady had a heart relationship. You know, as I was reading through this, it reminded me of Gandhi. You remember Gandhi was the great leader, the Hindu leader, who was for peace, and he did a lot in India, kind of changing the philosophy and the thought and the political environment in India. One day they talked to Gandhi about Christ. And he says, you know, you Christians, I love your Christ. But your Christians are so unlike him. He might have been convinced to become a Christian if the Christians were more like our Christ. You know what I wonder? I wonder if Gandhi had interactions with people that were 18 inches from the kingdom. That they named the name, but they didn't walk the walk. They didn't talk the talk. They didn't live the life. 18 inches. I believe that's the distance between being a fan of Jesus and being a follower. How far from Jesus are you? Are you so intermingled with him that you can't measure the distance? That you are in him and he is in you, and there's a world that you can't separate it out? Or is there 18 inches? I pray you're not a fan of Jesus, where you think he's a great teacher or a great prophet. He didn't leave that up to be determined. He said, I'm a great Lord. And I don't want you to follow me here. I want you to follow me here. Some of you are 18 inches away from amazing family life. Some of you are 18 inches away from an incredibly transformative experience at work or in your business. 18 inches. I pray that none of us winds up in hell by 18 inches. The Pharisee and the prostitute. What do they teach us? God knows us at a soul mingling level. That God wants us to know him at that same level. And that it's not enough to know about him, that we need to know him at the depth of our being. Some of you are here today and you've never said, Jesus, I want you to travel from my head to my heart. You may have gone to church your entire life, and you've never been challenged to open up your heart and let Jesus be Lord of all. Because if Jesus is not Lord of all, then the reality is he's not Lord at all. Today, I'd like for us to just pray. Would you pray with me? Lord God, I thank you that you come and meet us where we are, but that you love us so much you don't want us to stay in that condition. Lord, I pray that you would walk amongst us here today. That, Lord, you would come close. That you would invade our personal space. That you would get within arm's reach of us. And once again, call us to yourself. Lord, I pray for those that have never opened up themselves and said yes to you. Lord, I pray that if this is their day, that you would give them the courage and the boldness to look at me and just nod, to say, today, I'm opening myself up completely and fully to Jesus. I'm bridging that 18-inch gap for good. No turning back. I'm deciding to follow Jesus. If that describes you today, I'm not asking you to walk forward. I'm not asking you to do anything else other than to just look up and nod. Today's the day. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. You're not alone. You're not alone. All the way in the back. Thank you. Those up here, thank you. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. And I want you to repeat this prayer. Jesus, come into my heart and change the furniture around. Forgive my sin. Forgive my arrogance. I want to live for you. And I'm going to need you in my life for that to happen. Lord, I don't want to miss heaven by 18 inches. I'm tired of being a fan. I want to be a follower. Help that to happen. In your name I pray. And all God's people said, amen. If you did that today for the first time, or maybe you've just said it for the first time and really meant it, I hope that you will fill out a connection card and let me know so I can contact you this week. Give me all your information. Don't just assume that we've got it. I want to know you. I want to help you in this journey. I want to help you in your walk, because we don't birth babies at the hospital and walk away. We nurture them. We coddle them. We do everything for them until they can walk and feed and do things on their own. That's what we want to do. This is not just to get information. This is to help you walk a new life. If you have other prayer requests or other things going on, we encourage you and invite you to put those on the connection cards. But today is a special day. We have an opportunity to do some baptisms, and God has ceased the rain for that to happen. We're going to go ahead and do that. There's some that are planned, but maybe today is the day where you didn't come expecting to do it, but your heart and your life are different and changed, and you want to do that. You don't have to meet with me before you give it all to Jesus. And so if you want to come and join us after the service, we'd love for you to do that. Amazing, amazing, amazing family. I love you. And I thank you for listening today.